Okay. So, there's a few topics I want to cover this week. One of the things I mentioned, people ask me what I'll speak about, is talk about the Shalom Bayis. Now we know the Rebbe really, you know, wanted very much, talks about it as especially Yetzer Hara that intervenes in people's Shalom Bayis, peace at home. And one of the important lessons from this week's Pasha is fascinating. And I would like to explain this. And then we'll go on and explain another piece of Lekita Halachos. Because in the Lekita Halachos, the Halachos Gerishin, over and over says that it's the worst thing to get divorced. It says a long piece over and over. So let me explain something. Yaakov Avinu, he came to Laban's house and he saw Rachel and he said, I'll work 7 years to get Rachel. 7 years of labor, you get Rachel. And he said to him clearly, he knew right away Laban is a thief and is deceitful and is cunning and is sly. So he said clearly, I'm gonna work Baruchel Bitchu Haktana, means for Rachel, your child. Because I was saying I'm gonna work for Rachel, you're gonna bring me a child on the street. Yaakov Avinu already thought about it ahead of time. Imagine you are going to your uncle and you say to your uncle, may I marry your daughter Rachel? So he says yes. So Yaakov says, I want Rachel, your child, and the younger one. Maybe you're gonna switch names. So he mamish articulated Rachel Bitchu Haktana. And Laban successfully deceived Yaakov Avinu, and yet the night of the wedding, you know, he forced, the way the Medrash explains, twisted Rachel's arm, and the bottom line is, he pushed Leah in. And when Yaakov Avinu wakes up in the morning, and he sees it's not Rachel, it's Leah, this is an incredible, humiliating thing. So the Medrash says, when he got up, he was extremely annoyed. I mean, it is frightening. You're working 7 years to get this lady. It's the first time he was ever gracious oini. It's the first time he touched a lady. I mean, touched the first time he was with the lady. And turns out, it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. He was fuming. And the Medrash says, and he says, you're such a liar. You lied to me. Because at night, he would ask questions, ask her, are you Rachel or are you Leah? And she kept on saying, I'm Rachel. She kept on lying. So he was really annoyed. So Leah says to him, a very interesting Medrash. Leah says, well, your father asked you if you're Esav. You said you're Esav. So if your father, you told your father you're Esav, I could have said that I am Rachel. So this is how the Sheva Bracha started. But really, the Medrash is much more profound. The Medrash says he was going to throw out. You don't need a get. There was no kedushin. There was no nesuim. It was halacha, it's wordless. So really, he was going to take her and toss her out. Nothing to talk about. And tell Lavan, I work for Rachel. What do you want now? But Yaakov realized immediately that she became pregnant. So, for being, pregnant, that means I'm going to throw this lady out, and my child is not going to grow up in a home. Can I do such a thing? So for that reason, Yaakov decided to keep Leah. It's very, very amazing. He could have told Leah, as we say in America, go take a hike. Leave the home. This was a mistake. He is not obligated for anything. I said, and Laban took the gamble. And Yaakov felt Baruch HaKodesh, doesn't say how, says the Medrash, knew she became pregnant. So he said, how can I send the mother and the child away from my house? So you know what Yaakov did? Kept her. And the Lord says, now you want Rachel, and keep her another 7 years. So he worked another 7 years just to make sure this lady would stay with her child. How was this? She's pregnant. To have a house, an intact house. Now this is amazing. 7 years he worked afterwards for that. He could have just said to Yaakov, listen, I worked my 7 years, my Rachel, you lied to me. But he said, then Laban says to him, you want both, is another 7 years. So Yaakov worked another 7 years to get Rachel. Because he said, this is for Leah, now you want Rachel. Not only that, that Yaakov did, if it would have happened to us humans, we would say, okay, I keep you, but you're going to live in the back house. You know, yeah, you did a shtick. Shtick means you did something unconventional. You are going to live in the back house with the child. Once Yaakov made peace, he says, this is it. He lived with her like a husband and wife. And not only that, she had 7 children together. 6 of the Shvatim, half of the Shvatim. But we see from the Parsha the incredible importance of an intact. Yeah, so the trouble, it's incredible to look at it, that Yaakov did not want to send Leah away, because then this child, who she's pregnant with, I don't know what's going to be with this child. So I'd rather keep her as a wife, and not once I keep her as a wife, I don't tell her to move in the back house. She will be a wife. Okay, Yaakov kept his main thing as Rachel, but he treated like a wife, had holy children with her. He had 6 children. So this is the first thing, but you see how incredible important the Shabbat. Many people say, you know, how can I live with her? You can make peace. I've often said that if you want peace, it's up to you if you want to make peace.
And he lived with Rachel too at the same time?
You what?
Yaakov. He had Leah, and Rachel was his wife at the same time.
Yeah, he had 4 wives. He had 4 wives. He married Rachel, Leah, and Bilhah, and Zilpah.
All at the same time?
The same time. Well, after a week later, then later, two or three years later, married the other two. There's another very, very profound thing which the Zohar explains. The Zohar asks a frightening question, asks the Zohar. The Zohar asks, how is it Leah was not supposed to be Yaakov's wife? Yaakov said, Rachel. And Chazal say that even the children of Leah recognized it, but because by Rus, it says Rachel and Leah. Over there in the Pasuk, you see that all agreed Rachel was his main wife. Leah had 6 children plus Dinah. 6. Not, that means Reuben was the Bechor. Levi came out Moshe Rabbeinu. The Lushna Medrash is for Levi comes Nevuah, came out Moshe Rabbeinu. From Yehuda came out Malchus. Malchus means David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Mashiach, and Mechlau. The Medrash explains the power of Shevet Yehuda. They literally saved the Jewish nation. That's what we call Yehudim, after Shevet Yehuda. So that's Yehuda. We had Yisachar with the Torah learners, and we had Zvulim, the supporter of the Torahs. She had 6, half of the Shvatim, Amalei had. And Rachel barely pushed out 2 children. And to make worse, to add salt to the wound, asked the Zohar, who is buried Moros HaMachpeah? Leah. Rachel is buried on the road. We know where Kever Rachel is. It's not Moros HaMachpeah. Says the Zohar, how is this? She was not supposed to be his wife. She came in, as I just said, from the back door. She, you know, cheated him into his wife. That's what happened. And turns out, she became like the main 6 of the Shvatim came from her. And Yehuda and Moshe Rabbeinu, she had the unbelievable cream of the crop. So the Zohar says an amazing, frightening insightfulness of the Zohar. He says, Rachel never davened. Why didn't she daven? She said to herself, my husband worked 7 years to get me. Really, he worked twice 7 years. Because then the second 7 years he worked again for me. So as the Mepharshim point out, the commentary is that he worked 14 years together. I felt great. Leah felt the underdog, as we say in America. She never stopped davening, says the Zohar. She never took any day for granted. So when she had the first child, she kept on davening, I should have more children. And she kept on davening for Levi. She kept on davening for Yehuda. She never stopped davening. Says the Zohar, Ruchel didn't daven, so Ruchel has to do the davening now. Ruchel Mavaka al-Bnei, she's doing the davening now. The power of davening, what we learn over here, that Leah got everything because she davened. Ruchel did not daven, and she sort of, the way the Zohar explains it, I know it's deep mystery, but it seems that if Ruchel would have davened, it wouldn't have happened this way. So the power of tefillah is so important. And he speaks about it, Likita Halachas, that this week's Pasha, that this is what we suffer in the Golos. Because Yaakov Avinu was Mesakim Marav, he made Marav when he came to the Mukam HaMikdash. He made Marav means the darkness. Yaakov Avinu represents, no matter how dark it is, we have to daven. And we have to take time to daven. Then I want to say something, another very profound thing.
No, afterwards.
That's when I finish. Let me just explain another very interesting thing at the power that Kita Luchas points out. The trouble later in the parshiyos between the brothers started is Yaakov Avinu favored Yosef, and jealousy involved, and they wanted to kill Yosef, they sold him. That caused an incredible division in Klal Yisrael. Chazal say the Mechiras Yosef later in generation had such a terrible effect that Klal Yisrael was divided. There was the north and the south, if you know a little bit of history, there's Malchi Yisrael and there was Malchi Yehuda, and this caused the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Says Reb Nosson, explains a very profound thing. He explains with this, he says, he asks a very, very interesting question. Yaakov Avinu meets Rachel, and he says before at the well, and the Gemara relates a conversation Yaakov had with Rachel. Yaakov proposed to Rachel, I want to marry you. She agreed. She says, I want to tell you something. My father is a thief, a deceitful, cunning thief. She says, Yaakov Avinu says, I'm going to match him. I'm going to be conniving. She says, is a tzaddik allowed to do that? So Yaakov Avinu answers, with thief, with deceitfulness, you act in a deceitful way. That's what they're going to do. If he's a liar, then I could come with a lie. Now Yaakov Avinu, let me explain something. Yaakov Avinu was Kiloy Emes. Yaakov Avinu is called Yaakov. Whenever we talk about Yaakov, we say Yaakov represents Emes. Titen Emes LeYaakov. The Chassam Sefer, in last week's Pasha, says an incredible profound explanation. Yitzchak tells Esau, Bu Ulchichu B'mirmu. Your brother came with a deceitfulness. You don't come with deceitfulness. You come in and you lie. Sort of, he came in with a deceit. I come into the store and then I cheat me. I don't walk in with a cheating object. It seems like the pasuk says, Bo chichu b'mirmu. It's an object. He came in with this mirmu. The Sefer says that Yaakov Avinu, nature was so holy and so truthful, he couldn't lie to his father. So what happened was, the Yerushalmi says that the clothing that you wear from a tzaddik has an effect on a person. You should be a tzaddik. The clothing you wear from a rasha has an effect on a person. You wear the jacket from a rasha and it has an effect on you. Many of the stories in the Rebbe's that this way. So that's why the Torah says Yaakov put on the clothing of Esav. So now you had an impression, and now he could say a deceitfulness. He was allowed to do it, but he even couldn't say it because it was not the truth. Burchichu, with your clothing, that was mirror. Yaakov was kiloi, kiloi emes. So here now, Yaakov goes and tells Rochel that I will come with the seed. It says that Kita Alocha says a very, very powerful thing. The Yetzer Hara never comes to a person and tells them, be Mechal Shabbos. You know, that tells a person, you know, do a terrible Aveda. You know, go sleep with the sheikhs. He never says that. No, he doesn't. He starts cunning. First he says, maybe it's a mitzvah. Maybe you're allowed to do it. No one tells you, like, you know, look, you're very hungry, very sick, you're very lonely, and this is not, maybe it's okay. He never comes to a person to say, you know, a blatant lie. They comes with a covered, some sheker, he says, he takes some deceitfulness, and that's how it works. The sheker always is the koyach of the Yetzer Hara. The first, it's a very famous story of Nachman. He says that's the koyach of the Samach man, because the nochosh, when he started to seduce Chava, he came with a lie. He tells him, didn't Hashem tell you, mikol eitz hagan lo yisoich, you not eat any of the fruit? Which was a lie. That's not what Hashem said. But that's how the Yetzer Hara comes. He adds to it, builds it up. You know, it makes a person feel, it's impossible, you know, to do this. You know, it convinces a person. So Nosson explains, for that reason, a person is allowed to lie in a way, not a lie, to cover things up in order to fight the Yetzer Hara. You know, just to fight the Yetzer Hara. Like Reb Nachman was famous with his stories, because he said the stories are very profound, but you don't see the profoundness. It's hidden profoundness. The Yetzer Hara doesn't see it. When you read the story, it has a profound effect on a person. But then, Reb Nosson explains in a long piece of Torah, he says, that the end was that Lavan got his way. Because what Lavan did that night, very important to understand, he switched the wives, because if Lavan would have not switched it, and Yaakovina would have married Rachel, Yosef would have been the firstborn. Then there would have been the fight between the brothers. Everyone understands the firstborn you must respect. The brothers were jealous because Yaakov Avinu went and chose Yosef, and the brother, who is he if he's the oldest? So the jealousy was, the whole fight later started because of the jealousy, is because Leah was first child was born. Not from Rochel. Yaakov said, I worked so hard for Rochel, and Yosef would have been the child from Rochel. It would have been a whole different world. Lavan, with his unfortunate things, got to do this terrible, terrible thing he did. He switched it, and that caused later, the Kita Luchas go to great length to explain, that caused the Mechleges between the brothers, and later this caused the Chol Misamigdash. This is caused, as Chazal said, the Chet Meraglim, even the Rizal explains, this had a horrible effect. So Lavan got unfortunate in his way.
Rachel agreed to it.
Yes, she had no choice. It wasn't that, you know. Her father, the Medrash says, let me explain this, this is a mistake. It's not that Rachel, okay, you know what, it sounds cute, romantic, and let's do it. She had, the Medrash describes it, that her father threatened her. And he says, you're not going. Nothing to talk about. You're not going there. And he had the whole town, the whole interesting medrash, he had the whole town join this whole thing. And it wasn't so, it was planned, and he had a letter, and she saw that I'm not going, my sister's going, she's going to be so embarrassed. So she went and gave this on them, because originally they made up. They were afraid this is going to happen, so they made up that, how you know it's me, with certain simonim. She gave that simonim for Leah. But this caused a horrible chorban. But let me tell you, there's a yisod always in Chassidus. The Lekita Halacha says this, that in the darkness of darkness always lies the tikkun. In the darkness of darkness lies the tikkun. That means that the truth is, the Chazal said it's true, this is caused a terrible peret. But do you know there's a medrash in Eichel, which is a long medrash. The medrash says when the Smigdish was about to be destroyed, Avraham Avinu came crying and he was ripping the beard out of his face. And he begged Hashem, don't destroy the Smigdish. A long medrash. He says, I had a bris at the age of 100, and I made a bris on Yitzchak, and I was going to be take Yitzchak for a carbon when I was 137 years old. A whole long medrash. But Hashem ignored it. And then Yitzchak said to Hashem, I was willing to have myself slaughtered. And Yaakov said, the Moshe didn't listen, didn't listen to Yaakov, didn't listen to Moshe. All the end of a conversation, Rachel comes, and Rachel says these words, Yaakov Avini loved me very much. He worked 7 years to get me. And not to embarrass my sister, I knew it was going to be a horrible embarrassment, I gave away my simonim. She didn't know what's going to be at the end, but which means she gave everything away. It could be Yaakov would have said, you know what, I'm keeping Leah. You know, you don't know. It's always easy to be, as they say in America, Monday night, how do you say, Monday night quarterback. It's all after the story, 2020 vision in hindsight. She was in a danger, maybe. Not to bear. Oh, Hashem says, because of you, the Medrash says, because of you, I'm going to make sure the Klal Yisrael is going to come back. The Medrash goes on because that Chus, yes, there's going to be a Chum, but I promise to bring him back. So in this darkness, that night what Lavan did caused the Chavim B'Samigdash, as Amnosin explains, because that caused an incredible Pere means separations, because Reuben was born from Leah and Yosef was born from Rachel. But if it would have been Rachel first, Yosef would have been born for Rachel and he would have been the oldest, and this whole thing wouldn't have happened, explains the Kita Halacha. So this caused, the Lavan caused this horrible, horrible Charban. But in that thing what she did, there was a tikkun, because of her schus, we're going to have a tikkun. So we also see an incredible thing. How careful it is not to hurt someone's feelings. You see, it's incredible how to hurt them. Now, then the Pasha goes on. So in this week there's a lot of Lekita Halachos. And I want to say something very interesting. Hashem says to Yaakov, Hinei Unoichi Imach. Imagine you hear the words of Hashem, I am with you. I mean, it's the most powerful thing. You know, the most, when a person is running for his life, Yaakov Avinu was a fugitive, as you say. You know, he's running for his life. Yeah, Esav was running after him. And not only the Alifas caught up to him, took everything away from him. He's, you know, it wasn't like nowadays, you get into a plane, we can land in Haran. He had to travel through countries, and this was not safe. You're thinking with animals. When he lay down that night in the bed, he had to put stones around him, the animals should not attack him. He wasn't a... So, Sinei Noichi Imach, Hashem says to him in the famous dream, and he says, Ishmartichu b'chol ha'ashetelech, I'm going to watch you wherever you're going to go. V'ashevoisichu el adumu hazois, I'll bring you back to this land. Imagine you hear these words of Hashem. Hinei Noichi Imach, I'm with you. You're not alone. Ishmar Tichu, I'm going to watch you like someone watches his baby. He says, Ishmar Tichu, I'll watch you. I'm going to bring you below Yazovcha. I will never abandon you. I mean, it's such powerful words. Yaakovini gets up and he's terrified and he says, Hashem is going to be with me. Why is Hashem going to be with me? Hashem said, it's the greatest blessings you could ever hear from a person. I mean, Hashem speaks to you, the Almighty. Let me just tell you something very, very, very important. Yaakov Avinu said to himself, my father did not get this blessing, nor did my grandfather. I always give a simple mashal. Try to imagine that if someone goes to the doctor, is not feeling so good, the doctor makes a lot of tests, and he calls the patient into the room, closes the door of the office, and says, looks him across the eye, and says, don't worry, I'll take care of you. His kishkes, his guts fall out. That means, I'll take care of you now, I'm in trouble. If you would have told me everything is negative, oh, that would have been a simcha. You have to take care of me. Boy, am I am in trouble. He says, why did Hashem tell me, He didn't say this to Abraham. He didn't say this to Yitzchak. Why is he saying this to me? I am in for major trouble. And he was. Yaakov Avinu had a very difficult life. Who? I don't know, in the history of human mankind, a guy works 7 years to get his wife, and he wakes up in such a deceitful way. He should have asked. You know, Yaakov Avinu could have been and said, did Hashem fall asleep? I mean, what happened? How was I deceived? See, I want to explain something very, very, very important, which the Lakita Halacha says in different places, and a bit of the Meshistra says, that's Pshat and Pasuk. Ki umar v'yei. Hashem said, it will be Yitzivu, but he commanded Yam, it will always stick. Yosef was going to be king in Mitzrayim by hook and by crook. That was the dream he had, and he was going to become king there. That is clear, nothing to talk about. But the Rebbeinu Shem allows the free will to sometimes, through the free will of people, make it happen. Let's say the brothers would have not been jealous. There would have been another way how Yosef would have become king. He maybe would have business trip. There was other ways. Hashem allows free will, and with the free will of people, he dictates. They wanted to kill him, they sold him to Mitzrayim, they sold him to the Midyanim, they sold him to this. He wound up in Mitzrayim, he wound up to become king. But he was going to become king. Hashem does his things through the free will of people. Here, Leah was going to become Yaakov Avinu's wife. Don't worry, Yaakov Avinu not have both wives. But unfortunately, it came through the deceitfulness of Lavan, and Yaakov Avinu was hurt. But that had to be. Yaakov Avinu understood this is exactly what Hashem wants to happen. And then when the trouble started later, when Lavan tried to deceive him 100 times, it says the week's parasha, 100 times he changed his contract. He had to put up with this nonsense. And then when he had to run away from Lavan, wanted to kill him, then he meets Esau, 400 men. And then his daughter gets raped, and then Yosef disappears. Yaakov Avinu had a very tough life. But he knew this is exactly what Hashem... See, I tell people, Hashem could have made Yaakov Avinu's life even easier. He could have given him a video and tell him, this is what's going to happen. Don't worry, Yosef is coming back. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about Lavan is not going to be able to deceive you too much. I'll make sure you're going to become wealthy. If Yaakov sees the end result, there's no tests. The test in life is we have no idea what's going to be with us. Right? And he did have a hard life. But Hashem, he knew that everything is Bashar. Life was, he knew everything is exactly what Hashem wanted. But it doesn't make it easy. If you have a toothache and it's really, I know it's Mashiach, but it's a terrible toothache.
And King David had a tough life too.
Yeah. And became old quickly for that. But everything had the epitome of Betochen. The Rebbeinu Shloim does not tell anyone the future. But what the Torah teaches us over here, very clearly, that you know, the will of people that the Rebbeinu Shloim makes, it comes out through the people. And what happened was, because Lavan was successful, so the Churban Beis HaMikdash was, but in this, but that night what happened, Rachel gave away her Semunim, this caused that the Klal Yisrael will get back, and we will be redeemed. Rochel, says the Zohar, her schus, Rochel cries on the road, and her schus bezoicha. Now, he explains another very, very important thing, and he says, You know, the Chazal say Avram called Har HaMoriah, called the place of prayer Har HaMoriah. Yitzchak called it a field. Yaakov called it a house. So the Kitta Maron explains a very, very, very thing. The fact that we could daven, the idea of prayer, Avram introduced us into the world. But their prayer was, you have to go to the mountains. When I moved to L.A. 35 years ago, there was, you know, all these cults. Let's meet in the mountains and we're going to hold our hands up. And I don't know if you remember those days. They were busy with nonsense. People thought that, you know, we can't pray. You have to go in the mountains. And so Avram brought down Yitzchak Bor even more. You don't have to go to the mountains. You can pray in the fields. Yaakov says, you can pray in your house, where you are. Yaakov brought the prayer into us that you could pray. This is a very powerful thing, because the prayer is in Golas. The prayer represents the Shekhinah, and the Shekhinah is in Golas because we don't pray. Most people do not pray with Kavana, period, most people. Most people are davening, they're out of it. So that's why the Reb Nachman kept on saying, take time for yourself and talk to Hashem. As I said always, talking to Hashem makes your relationship with Hashem a reality. You acknowledge there's a creator. You acknowledge that you keep Shabbos because your creator wants you to keep Shabbos. Then when you start diving to Hashem, you start realizing, wow, he created me. He created the universe. And he's in charge. Very, very little in charge. One thing could go wrong in your body. All the person, Rahman Natslan, get some cancer cells, and who knows what could happen. Or sometimes worse things could happen. We have the Hashem, the more you daven, the more you realize He is in charge. And this is the hardest thing for humans. It's much easier to keep everything than to daven with Kavana. This is what he explains. So, Nosson explains over here, and he explains another very profound thing. Yaakov, when he dreamt, in a malach alekim oilem, the Jordan bird. The angels go up and go down. So he explains a very, very, very profound thing. He says, we cannot win the Yetzer Hara. The only way we can win the Yetzer Hara is the help of Hashem. That's clear, the Gemara says. But what Hashem wants us to do is we should arouse ourselves. We do our arousal, we get ourselves to daven, we push ourselves to do a mitzvah, we push ourselves to not be lazy, push ourselves to help someone, then the Rebbeinu Shlom, you do yours, and I'm going to come down. Malach Elikim translates, means there is a person has his own things that he wants to get close to Hashem. But Oilim, then the Yordan, other Malachim, other Kedusha come. This is the main zibuk, sort of to say, when the two things get together. And we have to do ours. So Yaakov Avini dreamt this, because this is the yisod of entire Yiddishkeit. See, we have ups and downs every day. So certain days you feel the morning, great, I'm going to do everything right, and then in the middle of the day, you mess up, and then, you know, then you have your downs and your ups. Life, as I've always said, has ups and downs. No one is always happy. No one's always, even depressed people. Not every day is a little bit different than depression. It's the trick of it is to be aware, self-awareness. And that you have to push yourself. Okay, I'm down. I don't feel good. I don't want to daven. But you tell yourself just the opposite. Now Hashem loves you for davening. I've said this often. The Rebbe said, Nachman said, that Rabbi Hashem could have many, he could make things worship him. That's not what he meant. I always say the sun, you know, 99%, I think I forgot, 98% of the solar system is the sun. Do you know that? All the planets together, put together, is only about 2% of the sun. The sun is greater than Earth 330,000 times. Imagine? 330,000 times bigger than Earth is the sun. The sun is the most predictable thing we can predict. When he's going to rise in the stand, the sun has no Yetzer Hara. He didn't wake up with a stomach ache. He didn't wake up in a bad mood. He doesn't have a headache to make a living, and things at work that's bothering him, or, you know, his loneliness, or whatever is going through the in a person's life. The sun has hardware, software, does exactly what it was programmed, except the different hardware and software, you could have bugs. There is no bugs in the sun. Hashem, hardware, software works exactly the way He did it. We here, Avi Yetzara, we don't want to daven. That's why we're here, to fight the battle. So when you're in a lousy mood, you don't want to daven, you push yourself. The pushing yourself is called the Srisa Derasata. Angels go up, and then angels meet you down. That's Malach Alekim Oilim Yordim, which is the biggest zivuk, he explains to Nosson, that that's the Kedusha, the two things, the up and the downward get together. That's Malach Alekim Oilim Yordim Bo. So, the trick of life is, what Nachman really taught, as I say every week, I say it to myself, is to daven to Hashem. Take time for yourself and just, you know, sit down and tell Hashem, here I came to speak to you. I don't know what to tell you. Even just say that. Just start. And everyone has a lot of things on their heart. You just say, Hashem, I need you to help me with my health. I need you to help me with my children. I need you to help me with my job. Or you need to help me with my mood. I'm in a lousy mood. I am in a bitter mood or an angry mood. Help me cheer up. Help me live a better life. See, today was a day like every day. But if you didn't smile today, you're the one who lost out. And the reason why we lose out, because we don't prepare ourselves to life. The more you daven, the more alert and this awareness comes in, where you could say, I'm going to take charge of my life. The Mlesson says another very, very powerful thing. Yanka woke up from his sleep. And he says, Yoyman Uchain, Yesh Hashem B'mukayim Hazeh. Hashem is in this place. He says, and also says, what Yaakov Vini saw then, Hashem is all over. There's sometimes more his galus, sometimes more, but Hashem is all over. You could, if you seek Hashem, Dirshi, you could find him. Sometimes it's easy. Dirshi Hashem B'yimotzoi, because I'll dash him 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But Hashem is all over, because why? It's not Hashem created space. It's not that Hashem filled up space. Space is a creation, is a dimension. We know that in physics. Hashem created it. He is all over. We have to let Hashem into us. There's a famous word from Kotzke Rebbe. I've said this more than once. Kotzke Rebbe, I remember if he asked the Talmud or he was asked, so the story goes, he asked him, where is Hashem? When he was a young boy, he was asked, where is Hashem? So Hashem, you know, there's a song, Hashem is there, Hashem is here, Hashem is everywhere. He asked him again, where is Hashem? He said again, he's all over. Third time, says Rebbe, oh, you say the answer. The Rebbe says, Hashem is there where you let him in. You hear a boy say, you got to let him into your heart. And when you make this bother this, you start talking to Hashem, slowly you let him in. We don't like him to be with us. The part of us, because that he demands our conscience to be a good Jew. If we let, the more we admit to Hashem, then that demands from us to be more honest and to be rightfulness, not to waste our time to do things. We don't want it. But the more you let Hashem into your life, into your conscience, how do you let him in? The more you daven with kavanah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam listens to the prayer when you talk to him from your heart, and especially you say to Hashem, here I am, I would love to have a relationship with you. I'm going to end with an avot. And another part in the parasha, v'shafti b'sholoim al beis uvi. Yaakov Avinu said, if I come back peacefully to my father's house, with Hashem li lekim, and I will have good children at Hashem's expense, then I'm going to build them a tzeiver. Rashi says, what does it mean, b'shafti b'sholem? Rashi says, sholem means, sholem and achet. I'm not going to have any sins. Sholem elmid medar kelov, I'm not going to learn from Lavan. Why doesn't Rashi say, sholem means peace? I'll come back with peace. Everything will be peaceful. See, we look, what is peace called? We look, we think peacefulness is, in our eyes, peaceful is everything goes smooth, no heartaches, Shalom Bayis should be great, Panasa should be great, everything should work out. That is, life is never works that way. That's not life. Yaakov didn't have peace. Can you imagine, after working 7 years, he wakes up and it's not Rochel, it's Leah. That's not a very peaceful act. But Rashi says, that's what Yaakov Avinu says, I want peace. The ultimate peace is that I shouldn't sin. And was terrified, maybe he can learn from Lavan because he's my father-in-law. Maybe he'll have an influence on me. So, one of the things that Nachman says, the more person davens, the more you find inner peacefulness in yourself. So I want to encourage you all to do things. First, put up a fake smile. Because if you fake it, you'll make it. And second is take time. Push yourself. Sit down. Turn your cell phone off. Turn the computer off. Or go into the in the field and just talk to Hashem. Start the 20 minutes. Don't budge no matter where your mind wanders. Do it for 20 minutes. You see, after a while, God will become a reality in you. It's going to be, you feel Hashem is with you. Hashem is there. Okay.